Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
The city meeting that I was escorted out by the chief, it fell just under what Mr. Andrade just described. Mr. Snow added an item during the work session, and I was told I should have spoke to that item during the work session, but then it was converted to an action item during the regular council meeting. Yes, sir, it was.
No, it wasn't.
I'm pretty close with Alex Andrade, and, you know, for a variety of reasons, but, you know, because he falls into that category for me of kind of like my team. Not because he's a Republican or a conservative or anything like that, but I like rational people who get things right on the basis of evidence. And sometimes that puts me aligned with people who aren't particularly, I don't know, that other people find, I don't know, a problematic in some way. A good example of this would be Doug Underhill, okay? I love Doug. I trust Doug. I believe in Doug. Doug's never misled me. He's never lied. He's, you know, he's a good person. He's rational. But he can be annoying and irritating and obnoxious. And I know that. Okay, I recognize that. Alex, to me, is, I get why people find him irritating, or, you know, why they don't like what they perceive from him to be, you know, smug or condescending or whatever. I do. The problem is he's right most every single time. And so for me, I'll always put people getting it right over everything else. And, you know, if you have the luxury of choosing people who are, you know, super likable, that's great. You know, and it'd be better. But, you know, that's my standard. But I think Alex has just had it with these folks who show up at the Milton City Council meeting and to get it wrong or lie or exaggerate or use drama or whatever. And the Pitchfork Posse, who has been against him for as long as I have been covering Milton City Council meetings, several years now. And Pam Mitchell's a prime example. She's the, you know, the founder, president, the original leader of the group, whatever. And she keeps telling this story about being escorted out by the chief. Well, you know, she wanted to talk at a time during the meeting where they had decided that people didn't get to talk. And she kept talking, and so they asked Chief Tindall to come up, and he basically walked out with her, escorted out by the chief. I'm like, he never touched her or anything like that. But that being said, the reason they're having this conversation is because the council has adapted its rules to try to thwart the repeated, just the way it used to be is like the public would just kind of come up and talk and there was no rules and anybody could say anything for any amount of time. And it was crazy. And just like at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, often the same people, not always, but often some of the overlap. And so they changed their rules in this Milton City Council meeting. It's kind of, they've changed their rules and they're just trying to get a grip on all this. However, the challenge is, what do you do when the public, which has been used to speaking about something a lot, what do you do when something gets brought up in the pre-meeting on City Council Day, and then in the meeting they vote on it, and you feel like you didn't get enough chances to talk about it? That's what Pam Mitchell's upset about. And there is a part of me that actually agrees with her. I said this before. It was a weird moment to realize that I was agreeing with Sherry Chapman, and I think I was agreeing with I might have been agreeing with James Calkins, for goodness sake, and Pam Mitchell. And this business of when the public gets to talk, I don't agree with the idea that the Milton City Council has put in place where you have public forum and then the public doesn't get to talk after that. They go through their agenda without public comment. If you want to talk about something on the agenda, you talk about it ahead of time at the public forum. There's no other city council that does it this way, right? the Pensacola City Council, you talk during the forum, and then you talk during the agenda item. And then you talk at the forum afterwards if you want. There's also an after forum in Milton. In the Escambia County Commission, you talk during the forum about anything not on the agenda. You have to actually wait until the agenda items to talk about the individual items. Santa Rosa County, you can talk before or during about the agenda items. And so in Milton, it's the only local body I know of that has decided not to let the public talk during the agenda for each item, which makes no sense to me because that's when you have the most relevant comment. That's how people, if they want to engage. Now, I think you shouldn't have to wait till then if you want to come and speak in the forum and go away. That's fine. But anyway, so they have decided to create more order by taking away the option for the public to speak when the council is actually going through the agenda. Well, what happens when something gets brought up on the day and added to the agenda? Well, if it gets added during the work session beforehand, then you have time to talk after the work session and also during the public forum. You just don't get to talk during the agenda at night. What if it gets brought up during the meeting? Well, then you do. And I just, the whole concept to me is very simple. If you're going to have an item added to the agenda, just make space during the agenda for people to talk about it. Then you avoid all of this stuff. So I actually think that even though she's wrong in her way of asking, even though she dramatizes and misrepresents the way it happened to her before, I actually think Pam Mitchell is right about how they ought to get to talk during the agenda. Well, interestingly, Heather Lindsay, who is frequently a source of drama and controversy and has in the past often been the, you know, escalator, not the calmer downer, okay? She was very much the calmer downer during this meeting.
Well, I believe the question is, you know, what would happen in that situation? Can we just address, instead of fighting over history, how would that play out in a meeting in the future, assuming this ordinance passes? If something is added to the council agenda during the work session immediately prior, when do citizens have the opportunity to comment on the item? And when is it a time just for council to discuss?
Public comment.
And that's what he's saying, is that the public comment during the work session, which runs prior to the city council meeting, and then also the forum before the meeting. But it's kind of a, how much attention do you have to pay? Right. And public notice and amount of time to react to things, to discover that, hey, there's a thing on the agenda that I want to participate in, as opposed to having to sit down in real time and watch the work session and then decide, oh, this is important to me. And then what, travel down to City Hall maybe or whatever. You know, it's just very time inconvenient to make that happen, which kind of came up in the meeting. Gavin Hawthorne, for his part, proposed,
what if we made it to where if an item was brought up as a discussion item, it can only be a discussion item, meaning we can't change it to a voting item? Because say if there was a citizen that was at home watching the video and say they wanted to make an input, and then we made an actual vote right then and there, they wouldn't have the time to actually come down and speak their opinion for that discussion. So I think, to be fair for everyone, not just for Ms. Mitchell, but for every citizen, I think that's fair enough that if there's an item that's brought up that's a new item, it does not need to be a vote. It just needs to be a discussion. So therefore, if a citizen needs to have an opinion on the next meeting where the actual action item will take place, they will then have their time to voice their opinion on that item.
And that would make sense, too. However, sometimes these items come up for discussion and the city council wants to take action because either it's an exigent circumstance or they feel like they have a full amount of information and it's more timely, and you don't want to handcuff them. And I actually appreciate that Jeff Snow made that comment, because he's right that, you know, making a rule about you can't bring something up, add it to the agenda, and then act on it, which is going to happen sometimes. The solution isn't to prohibit what the council can do. The solution is just give the public time to input stuff if they want to.
It could handcuff this council from making some of the basic decisions when people come in at the last moment and we decide to make a... Now, if something's added, I have no problem allowing, as has been asked for, that the public speaks.
And that's actually, you know, it's kind of interesting, because if something is added, then people should get to talk. And they do get to talk in the work session. They do get to talk in the public forum. And under the new rules, they would actually get to talk during the meeting. It would be an exception to it.
I'll just direct everybody to number 4 in the ordinance, subsection 4, titled Amended Agenda Items, where it states very clearly, if an agenda item's added by the council during a regular council meeting, that item was not previously published on a work session agenda or previous regular meeting agenda, Each individual may be heard on that agenda item immediately prior to the time that the item is brought before the council for action to be taken. I was a little confused by some of the commentary simply because this ordinance makes very clear exactly just how much public protection there should be. There's no amendment necessary to address the scenarios that keep being brought up.
Yeah, and I think he's right about that. But still, it's interesting to me watching all these different meetings, all these different bodies, and how they govern themselves, that the process for holding a public meeting in Florida is not standardized. Now, I'm not trying to preempt another thing to Tallahassee, because Tallahassee already controls too much stuff. It's just weird to me how much this is, like, always a struggle. And by the way, every body, every governing municipal entity has quirks and foibles about how it does this. One of the ones that I think is the goofiest is that the Pensacola City Council, they have an agenda review on Monday, and then they have the city council meeting on Thursday. I actually kind of like that because it gives staff and the public time in between, just like the Santa Rosa County Commission has a, they call it the committee meeting, but it's really an agenda review session on a Monday, and then they have their meeting on a Thursday. And I like that because it gives the staff time to come up with information if they need it, and it also gives the public time to react because they've heard about a thing is going to be on the Thursday agenda. That makes sense to me. What doesn't make any sense to me and never has made any sense to me is that on the Monday meeting in City Council in Pensacola, you cannot discuss the item. You said, well, I thought you said they bring it up. They do. They bring it up and they're only allowed to ask questions of how does this work nature. They are not allowed to engage in debate about the merits of the item. It's a weird quirk that you can't discuss the actual item and you can't tell people where you stand on it during the agenda review. See, I like the way, for example, the, you know, Escambia County Commission, when they do agenda review, the whole point of it is to kind of pregame the arguments and to find out where people stand. And it gives you the chance to hear interesting ideas that you wouldn't have heard before. And then you're not caught suddenly by it on at the night meeting. They do it weird because they do it same day. So it's the morning review of the agenda, and then the afternoon is when they actually have the meeting. That's weird. I like it being on a different day. But this weirdness in Pensacola that you can't argue about it ahead of time. Like, why? You're going to pollute the issue? I don't know. It's just an odd rule. But in Milton, what they have is almost like too much. You know, you have work sessions on a Thursday, and then like a week or a week and a half later, you've got another work session and then a meeting. The problem is that sometimes things come up in that meeting that then or in the work session that then want to be in the actual meeting, and how do you handle that? I just generally think that if you're going to have an agenda item where the council or the commission is going to vote, then the best place to have discussion by the public about that item is right before they vote, before they go into their own conversations amongst themselves. And for whatever reason, Milton, and I've watched it. I mean, I watched them make these changes over the last year. I don't fully understand. I certainly don't agree. And I think they would avoid all of this particular controversy if they would just let people talk during the agenda as opposed to ahead of time. So, yeah, parliamentary procedure makes a difference. And people get worked up about this because they feel like it favors one side or another, or it marginalizes the public or empowers the public or whatever. Now, John, you live in Milton.
Yes.
And so I know you're always proud of these segments when we talk about your government.
Right.
They're going to have a vote on this. What's that vote going to turn out to be? What's the number of that vote going to turn out to be? You got 8 city council members. In this case, Sherry Sebastio wasn't there yet. She shows up right at the end of the vote. It's going to be a unanimous. It's going to be 5-2. It's going to be, what do you think?
4-3?
5-2. It's always 5-2 because Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack are always on the other side of anything that's controversial.
The votes are, it's passed 5-2. The two nay votes are Councilwoman Farrow and Councilman Cusack.
There you go.
The ayes are Councilman Hawthorne, Councilman Powell.
Yeah, and she goes through all the ayes, but it doesn't really matter. The point is, it's always, always, always going to be Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack on the other side. 524 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So, if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/TC17+. End September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
Hey, checking in.
This is not just your flu shot appointment at Walgreens.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
This is getting your entire family vaccinated in one trip.
Hey, Mom.
And a snack on the way out. Get flu shots for everyone in your family, together. Schedule appointments online today. This is wellness made easy. Walgreens.
Vaccine subject to availability and for ages 3+. State and health-related restrictions may apply.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9. At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10. Swan Capital at 1. Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
You know, wearing that flag on that jacket, looking the way you do, you're asking for trouble around here, friend.
They drew first blood. 5:27 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Oh, man. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
A federal judge in Texas is blocking a program that would give legal status to illegal immigrants that are married to American citizens. The Biden administration plan started earlier this month. It would have affected around 500,000 immigrants that don't have legal status. The judge blocked the program for 14 days. Starting yesterday.
But if they do away with that, how will we have outstanding movies like Green Card with Gerard Depardieu and Andy McDowell?
Ooh, solid point.
I mean, you got to think about the cultural consequences.
The tough decisions you make.
Go on, sir.
SpaceX has delayed the launch of the Polaris Dawn mission by a day for additional pre-launch checkouts. Apparently, they had a helium leak. The company says the crew is expected to conduct the first ever commercial spacewalk while wearing SpaceX-designed suits. And a big recall at Walmart, 10,000 cases of apple juice. And apparently the great value apple juice may have potentially dangerous levels of, and this sounds kind of scary, arsenic, which is not something I would think you would want in your apple juice. The recall was originally announced by the FDA August 15th, but it's been upgraded to a more urgent level.
I mean, apple seeds contain, well, cyanide.
Like
I guess,
a trace amount.
Not arsenic. So, okay, all right, fair enough. But I'm still stuck on the whole green card thing. Can we go back to that for a second?
Well, it's your show.
Yeah, well, no, because, I mean, I say green card, but of course green card is like a C-rate movie at best, even though I love Andy McDowell, mostly looking at her. But who doesn't? Anyway, the green card marriage is the premise for countless situation comedies.
It really is.
And, I mean, if that goes away, I'm just not sure what we do as a culture. You know, the whole idea of knowing what color somebody else's toothbrush is and the prepping ahead of time to make sure to beat the investigator from ICE or whoever does that. I mean,
it's a classic plot line.
It's something that we've all dealt with. I mean, we all have three or four close friends that have dealt with this, right? So I just think you got to be careful about, you know, taking away
the vital ingredients and material for the situation comedy. And so I would probably think that this is probably better off not changed.
And, you know, I think that's something that they probably just haven't considered. Is,
yeah, I mean, where's
how does
we
this
need,
affect?
We need a little public input. Right. We need a little public commentary. Maybe send copies of movies, perhaps on VHS, to these legislators before they make the change and, you know,
and
fix
if they
this.
Make this change, are our old movies, are they grandfathered in?
No,
or
that's
do we
a great
lose them?
Point. Can you even enjoy watching them anymore? Because if you try to watch them with, say, your children or grandchildren, they're
they
just going to point
understand.
At the bed. I don't even know what they're talking about anymore. It's like, you know, what do you mean go into a phone booth to change your crime fighting uniform? They're baffled by it. And nobody considers the impact of the loss of these cultural references when they're making changes to technology or to laws. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
Write your congressman today.
Yeah, I have a feeling Matt's not going to be super responsive on this.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Trump-Harris campaigns are clashing over the debate rules as the candidates head to key battleground states this week.
The standoff involves mics. It was President Biden's team who proposed muting mics when a candidate isn't speaking for the debate back in June. Now, Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign wants to reverse that rule.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. The Harris-Walz campaign will kick off a Georgia bus tour tomorrow. Former President Trump visits Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Special Counsel Jack Smith is asking an appeals court to reinstate former President Trump's classified documents case,
saying in a filing the district court's novel conclusions lack merit. The district court's rationale would likewise raise questions about hundreds of appointments throughout the executive branch, including in the Departments of Defense, State, Treasury, and Labor.
That is Fox's Kevin Cork. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. And right now we have 79 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. The downtown Pensacola sculpture commemorating the 9/11 terrorist attacks has now apparently been vandalized. The city said the damage was discovered late last week. A large part of that sculpture is now broken and missing. The statue sits at the south end of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. The Parks and Rec Department is now looking into contacting the artist about making repairs. Escambia County deputies investigating after several fights happened recently at the Pine Forest High School football game. Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 there were at least 10 fights last Friday at the game involving mostly young females. Investigators are now reviewing video footage. They say charges could be possible for some of those teenagers. The school district says they are disappointed by the altercations, but thankful for their law enforcement partners. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says he just doesn't agree with the court's recent decision to release Brandon Adelot from the Florida State Hospital into a secure step-down facility.
What he did to his mother was just, I'm in year 42 and I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how people could do something like that to a stranger, much less to the woman that gave birth to him.
Adelot petitioned to be moved to a less restrictive facility, a request that was approved earlier this month. He's now being treated at the Appalachian Center in Quincy. Johnson remembered Adelot's mother, a Santa Rosa County school teacher, as the kind of teacher students could talk to about any of their problems. Quote, great lady, great teacher, and great mother. Yeah, it looks like Pensacola and two other Red Lobster locations across in the state are now on that list to be closed after the Red Lobster bankruptcy filing earlier this summer. The chain closed about 100 locations earlier in the summer, including 17 across the state. But Pensacola's location had stayed open. But now, in a court filing last week, Red Lobster listed 23 more locations that they are planning to close. That includes the Pensacola Cordova Mall location, also a location in Fort Walton Beach and in Port Richey. The chain blames inflation and expensive leases for the restaurants not making enough money to stay afloat. Members of a House task force took a tour of the site of the assassination attempt on former President Trump in Pennsylvania yesterday. Pennsylvania Republican Mike Kelly said both sides of the aisle are working together on this.
There's not one person on this conference that's identifying just as a Republican or a Democrat. We're identifying as members of Congress on a task force with a task to restore the faith and trust and confidence the American people have to have.
The July 13th shooting at the Butler Farm grounds killed one person and left Trump and two others injured. A bipartisan task force said it toured the grounds in an effort to not only understand what went wrong that day, but to ensure accountability. It is 5:35, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
It is going to be a warm and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 90 degrees. Feeling more like the upper 90s to triple digits. 40% chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon and early evening. As you head overnight, temperatures dropping near 78. Another 40% chance of rain on that Wednesday. High near 90 degrees, low near 78. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 79 degrees in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
News Radio Pensacola is the best place to reach informative, local, and dependable listeners. But did you know you can reach sports fanatics on one of our family of radio stations, ESPN Pensacola? It's our area's top place to reach sports fans.
I'm Robin, general manager with Stonebrook Golf Club. We enjoy working with the ESPN local radio team. Great service and delivered results. To reach area sports enthusiasts, I recommend advertising with ESPN Radio.
To have your business reach sports fans today, call 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 5:37 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, as we typically do on a Monday. Hey, Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So first thing I wanted to ask you about, nobody wants to jinx anything, but things have been less eventful for like a month now, right?
Yeah, but I think we're jinxing it right now by even discussing it.
If I had that kind of power, I certainly don't think either of us do. But we'll take it. Hey, calm is good, right?
It is. It's very good.
You guys have a program now, the Drive Sober campaign, right?
We do. We're rolling that out. It's usually around holidays, too. Labor Day's coming up, and a lot of people are going to go to barbecues and have a good time, which we want them to do. Just don't go overboard with it and drink too much and then try to get behind the wheel of the car because that's not good.
And if you're buzzed, you're drunk, right?
Correct. And you can always call. That's the great thing about living in our day and time now. You can call an Uber. There's hundreds of them out there, and they'll come get you and just take you home. So
all kinds of ways to travel that don't involve you getting behind the wheel. You guys also did something with the Star Foundation, which is your charitable organization that you started last year, this year?
It was earlier this year. Early we actually year. Got our 501c3 designation, which allows us to collect. But yeah, we're helping deputies with it already. And for everybody who came out to the rodeo in East Milton, you're supporting the Star Foundation by doing that. And that's how we can give checks out to these individuals who really, really need it. And they're you know, they go through some rough stuff sometimes, and it's good to be able to help them.
Feel free if you don't want to say it, but, you know, can you talk about what you're doing to help these deputies? Like, what is the need or what is the gift?
Yeah, money, monetary. Both of the deputies involved have their significant others are going through some issues where they have to travel for treatment and things of that nature. So it goes a little, you know, a long ways to help them pay the bills.
Defray the costs. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Had a couple of things. One story that I know you'll want to say something about is this horrible murder that took place in 2013 Christmas, Brandon Adelot murdering his mother. And then, of course, he was, judged unfit to go through the normal trial process, and then he was confined to a facility. And then about a week and a half ago, we find out that he's going to be allowed into, and it had been just a step down with not, I guess, constant supervision, but now it's going to be a step down facility where he is going to be not free to go around and 24-hour supervision, but still not in prison, which some people very much disagree with. I was curious you weren't sheriff because Wendell Hall was sheriff, I think, at the time, but you were probably a ranked officer at the time?
Yeah, I think I was a captain at the time. And, you know, back in the day, I was Sharon Adelot, the victim. I was her SRO at Holly Navarre Middle School. She was a teacher there. And so I was well acquainted with her. And I'll tell you what, this kid never needs to breathe free air again. But unfortunately, I don't get to make those rules. I don't get to make that judgment call. But what he did to his mother was just, I'm in year 42 and I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how people could do something like that to a stranger, much less to the woman that gave birth to him.
I think a lot of times, and, you know, this is my fault as much as anybody's fault, that in news we tend to focus on the perpetrators rather than on the victims. And since you knew her, would you mind just, talking about her a little bit and reminding people of who she was? Because I think that's one of the best things we can do after a horrible incident like this is just remember, you know, who was lost, right?
Yeah, and she was, she had been a teacher pretty much her whole adult life. She was just one of the teachers that the kids could go to and actually talk through problems with. I mean, she wasn't just there to educate them, you know, with books and stuff, but she would be there for them no matter what they were going through. Just very pleasant woman to be around, always had a smile on her face. She was just a great lady, great teacher, and, you know, a great mother. Just unfortunately, her son went off the deep end, and it was horrific.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I do, because, you know, I obviously did not know her at all, and, you know, I didn't know that you were her SRO until, you know, you just said it on the air. So I appreciate you sharing that. So, Sheriff, you and I have talked about this a couple of times already, and if I remember, your kind of initial read on this was – it's a violation of policy. It's probably going to catch a charge for something because you can't shoot somebody in their own home who's not pointing a gun at you. It's a horrible situation, but everything else aside, that's the basics of it, right?
Yeah, and it's a horrible situation for everybody involved. I mean, you know, the airman that answers the door and, doesn't point the gun at the officer. I mean, the body cam's pretty, you know, cut and dry. And gets killed at his doorstep. So the officer, obviously, you know, in my opinion, by watching the film, and it's really hard to be a Monday morning quarterback, especially for all these people out there on, you know, the computers talking about they would have done this, they would have done that. Well, if you've never been put in that position, you don't know what you're going to do or what you're not going to do. I've been in that position before. I've had to disarm people, and I can tell you it's a split second decision that you have to make. And we try to get it right every time, but unfortunately for a lot of law enforcement officers throughout the years, sometimes they get it wrong. And when they get it wrong, you have to deal with the consequences. And one of the consequences is possibly going to prison.
I've got to believe, having never been in this situation myself, I've got to believe that when many officers go through a circumstance where it could have gone wrong, you know, or they could have done wrong, that there's got to be a bit of gratitude for the training, but just gratitude for the grace of God that you didn't make that one wrong thing in that moment and jeopardize your family's future, your future. I mean, look, it's awful what happened to the airmen, of course, obviously. Yeah. But I got to believe that you feel like almost lucky to have escaped situations and didn't do the wrong thing sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I can't even count over 42 years of the things I've been involved in that I was lucky to walk away from. And I can tell you a lot of people, especially these people, like I said, on Facebook and stuff, saying he needs the death penalty and blah, blah, blah. Cops don't wake up in the morning saying, gosh, I hope I get to kill somebody on the shift. It doesn't work that way. Most cops never have to kill anybody as long as they could do a 30-year career and never have to shoot their gun other than on the range. And most of them prefer that. You just get put in predicaments where, you know, you're at the, well, depends on the predicament, but you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you can get caught up in some stuff. And unfortunately with this guy, I don't know the deputy's background. I don't know how long he was a deputy. I don't know what kind of training he had or whatever. But unfortunately stuff like this happens on occasion, but it's rare because of our training. We train a lot. We shoot a lot. We have a simulator at our agency, and we have you get in front of it and it actually interacts with the officer. You tell somebody put the gun down, they'll do it one time, another time they'll point it at you. Mm-hmm. And you have to react split second wise, and we critique them after that, and hopefully that kind of training keeps us from getting in a bind.
Have you I know your agency, like, you know, all good law enforcement agencies use you know, mistakes or even good decisions as trainings, yeah. Right? You know, make sure to train to it. Have you been using this incident as a training opportunity?
Not yet. Usually we let the legal system take its course. Once everything's said and done, then we'll probably incorporate something like this into our training as well.
Yeah, which makes sense. I understand that. Sheriff Bob Johnson, he's the Santa Rosa County Sheriff, joins us every Monday to talk at this time. Sheriff, as always, I appreciate the time, and I appreciate what you do to keep us safe and to keep us informed about law enforcement matters. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Andrew. Take care.
Absolutely. 546 here on News Radio 92.3. A couple of things coming up. The Stepping Out in Style Fashion Show comes up, the 48th one, presented by the Women's Board of Baptist Healthcare Foundation. This is on Thursday, October 24th, so it's a little ways out, 2 months out. It's at Sanders Beach Crin Jones Resource Center. It begins at 5:30 social time, charcuterie, beverages, live and silent auction, and the fashion show, which is always a good time. Visit BaptistHealthcareFoundation.org, or there's a phone number here, 448-227-8150, but BaptistHealthcareFoundation.org for more information about becoming a sponsor. And Saturday, September 7th, a little bit closer, it's the 2024 Wingman Foundation Pensacola Memorial 5K and 1 Mile Kids Fun Run. Take place in historic downtown Pensacola, beginning and ending at Seville Quarter. Runners also have a virtual registration, so you can participate from anywhere. So you can run on your treadmill at home, I guess, and virtually participate in the fun run. That's kind of interesting. NewsRadio923.com for more information about that. I'm Andrew McKay.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hurricane season is here. Don't wait until your Generac generator is needed to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today and schedule maintenance on your generator. Their Generac-certified technicians will make sure your generator is ready when needed. Need a new unit or a replacement? Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric, a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical and generator needs. White Sands Electric.
Join the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9. They'll be talking about their upcoming fundraiser, Rock for Vets, as well as other initiatives they support. The Rock for Vets fundraiser is September 14th at Community Maritime Park and will support our local homeless veteran community. Learn more about Rock for Vets and the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I suggest a new strategy, R2. Let the Wookiee win.
Maybe not the greatest song of the 80s, but you know exactly when it happened. And you might even know the movie. Does that bring a movie to mind for you, John, at all? Moving Pictures by Never? Or Never by Moving Pictures, sorry. Got it backwards.
I could see the movie, but I can't think of it.
They do a lot of dancing outside the city limits in this movie.
Uh-oh.
Footloose.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Also,
I know it now.
Maybe a year from now, we'll play that one again.
Okay.
550 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, but before we get to that, David, why does Brooke Richardson have a dark purple map on the heat index? Is scaring me right now. They've got a heat index of over 100 for today.
Well, it's supposed to be very hot all through the Midwest, I think, this week again,
right,
and then move into the Mid-Atlantic or something.
That's a scary color,
though,
that
purple.
It's
going to be hot here, too, I'm sure. It's always hot here.
When do they just go to, like, the black screen? The black screen of death hotness.
They just replace it with just flames. Yeah. Just the background is all flames.
If I ran the graphics at WEAR for a day. Go on, sir. What's going on in the newsroom?
Well, former President Donald Trump warning that World War III may erupt soon. He told the National Guard Association in Detroit yesterday that he believes he would be the best candidate to prevent that, of course, during one of his rallies. The dangerous heat wave, speaking of that, that's hitting the central and eastern U.S. this week. Forecasters say it will be unreasonably hot in the upper Midwest, where they say it could reach 105 to 115 degrees with humidity, or as we call that here, summer.
That's right. And, where was that one? Where was the...
The upper Midwest is where
goodness.
They're saying.
All right.
But I guess in the upper Midwest, you're really not used to that. I'm sure.
Yeah, you know. It's pretty unusual. Chicago was pretty tepid. I mean, it was...
Periods of time.
It was 70. Like, I had to decide pants or no pants, you know,
right.
Sweater at night, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, when I took my week off, I was in Iowa, and it was down in the 50s at night and, like, 70 during the day. I'm like, oh, this is... wonderful.
It's like weather foreplay now. Go on, sir.
So
what
refreshing.
Else?
And the opening day of the U.S. Open officially in the books. Second-seeded Novak
Djokovic.
Djokovic. There we go. Thank you. Boy, I see the word, and I'm trying to say it. He advanced to the second round with a dominant three-set win. On the women's side, Coco Gauff rolled to a straight sets victory. I'm not a tennis expert. So.
It's not fair a lot of times, especially in the modern era where you have lots of international name players. Because you're a newsman. And it's one thing to learn all the senators and the congressmen and your state and local representatives. But then you've also got to memorize the names of people like from Serbia. I mean, it's just not right. It's not right.
It's not easy,
it's not
I'll tell
fair.
You.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 552 here on News Radio 92.3. Just because I had never had a chance to share it. John, obviously we were in Chicago last week. I mean, not we like you, but I was, you know, without you.
I know, right?
And by the way, kind of a neat thing is coming up this Friday. On Thursday, I'm going to be traveling to Panama City for the ride-along. They call it a Tiger Cruise with the USS McCool. So the USS McCool is... John is giving me evil eyes because he's like, why can't I be on it? Because you got to run this show here.
Right. But, I could do it remotely.
If the technology works right, and we think it will, I am expecting to be able to broadcast the show from the ship on Friday as we're sailing across the Gulf from Panama City to the Pensacola to arrive around dawn and then to disembark at the at NAS Pensacola at around 10 a.m. And if it works right, we're like working on a Starlink and all this kind of, I should be able to broadcast my show from the hangar on board the ship.
Right.
While it's sailing.
You need a sound guy. I mean, this is the problem we run into.
It's kind of cool. Anyway, so have we not talked about that? David's giving me the what you know? Did you know that we were going to be doing the show from the ship on Friday?
I did not know that, but now I do. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's
I can't
be
wait.
Fun. Now, it may not work, so we have a lot of backup plans because we've never done a show on board a ship live. So we're making backup plans for what to do if that doesn't pan out. But that's the plan right now, and I'm looking. That's going to be fun, man. I can't wait because it's a pretty wild ship. The reason we can do it from the hangar bay, if that works out to be the location, is because they won't have airplanes yet, they won't have the helicopters yet. So 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see what was going. Oh, we're losing our Red Lobster.
I heard that.
Yeah. So go get your cheddar biscuits now while you can. I don't think there's been a time given just yet, but, you know, the going theory is kind of twofold. On the one hand, it looks like when this company that took over for Red Lobster started managing them, they just did terrible job. apparently is, you know, the kind of the universal consensus about that is they did a lot of things that really kind of ruined the culture, and which is sad because Red Lobster and Olive Garden used to be kind of corporate connected, and I worked at Olive Garden for a long time, and I thought we had a really healthy corporate culture. But anyway, they've gone down to there's going to be at the end of this, there's going to be about 500 Red Lobsters left, down from 650 last year. The list of ones being closed has started to leak out, and yeah, the 9th Avenue location in Florida, along with one in Fort Walton Beach and one in Port Richey, are going to be closed in Florida. So, like I said, you know, run out and get your cheddar biscuits before they're gone. Also, another going theory on this is that the forced, ridiculous, all-you-can-eat shrimp for $20 deal, which cost them apparently $11 million. Oh, David wants to weigh in on this. Okay, David, I'm curious.
Well, actually, I may have some information.
Oh, do tell.
So this hasn't been officially confirmed through the company or anything, but I did see several people posting on various social media pages yesterday that the Red Lobster is already closed.
Oh.
That the employees went to work and potentially yesterday was the last day or something. So it may be too late for the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Wow.
Well, unfortunately.
Way to soft land it, you know?
I know. I'm sorry.
What now?
The official report was by the end of the month, if everything got approved.
August 31st,
and I
right.
I think it already got, it must have already been, you know.
So you only had until Saturday anyway, but now you may only have had till Sunday past.
Right.
So
yes.
Interesting. I'll have to go maybe swing by there today and see if I can, you know, put my eyes on a note or something, but wow, yikes.
Yeah. Again, that's kind of an unofficial thing. Yeah. That's just people that say, you know, we're posting on social media, I work there, and this is what happened when I showed up.
So let's put it this way. If you were hoping to rush out and get your last of its kind Cheddar Bay biscuit before you got to go somewhere else to get them, because they will still have stores elsewhere
for
now, maybe have a backup plan for lunch.
Really hoping for the Cheddar Bay biscuits. The store-bought mix is pretty good, too.
Well, and also the frozen ones are very good.
Really?
Yes, they're already made. You pop them in your little air fryer thing.
Stop it. Really?
Boom. Yes.
Wasn't there some talk about, I know we're spending too much time on this, but I don't care. It's important stuff. Wasn't there some talk about that product line being spun off onto its own entity to be sold separately to some company that might make them or make the mix or something like that? Because that seems like that's like the one valuable slice of the Red Lobster property constellation, right?
The intellectual property.
Yeah.
Of it.
So anyway, maybe the Cheddar Bay biscuits will live on.
I would imagine
perhaps
on a
food
cart
or a kiosk at a mall near you or something like that, instead of on it, you know, as part of an overall. Because in Pensacola, I mean, how much are we mourning the loss of? I mean, we also have some seafood restaurants,
right?
And not that Red Lobster's bad. Yeah. It's just, you know,
fresh seafood out of the Gulf.
We have others, let's just say. David, thanks so much. Thank you for that input. I had not seen that myself. 558 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? You know what the big story was from yesterday? And I know it seems like maybe there were a lot of them. The really big story from yesterday was that Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, has completely admitted in a letter that the Biden administration pressured them hard on COVID-19 censorship. And also, he regrets the way they handled the Hunter Biden laptop story with the claims that it was Russian disinformation. And no Zuckerbucks in this election. I mean, this is a big letter. This letter had a lot of stuff in it. He wrote it to Jim Jordan of Ohio, House Judiciary Committee chairman. Now, he says that ultimately they had decisions about whether or not to take content down related to COVID-19, but that the Biden administration repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire. And he says, I believe the government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it. Well, you know, no time like too late. But at least now we know that one site and
other. Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.